So our text is from the gospel reading we heard a few moments ago, these words, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." It's Mark 1:15. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us here this morning, every single one of us we've missed an opportunity. We've missed an opportunity. Now, what does that mean? To miss an opportunity. It means we've had the chance at one point or another in our lives, at one moment or another, to do something which we didn't do. And thinking back later, we realize that we really should have done that thing. Now, a missed opportunity can be as simple as a sales item in a store which we pass up thinking that it was not that great of a price, or we didn't need the item, or we didn't want that item, only to discover later that the price was actually quite good. And we did indeed need that item, and so we went back to get that item at the store, and it was gone. When I was about 12 years old, I was asked, not once, but twice, to be part of a small orchestra that accompanied a choir based in Loveland, my hometown there in Colorado, that was going on tour all summer throughout the United States. My way would be paid. Turned out that orchestra needed a second or third trumpet, so they called the local band director, and he recommended me. But I was 12. And I didn't want to miss my summer of, doing nothing. So I turned down the offer. Later, I thought, of course, I should have done it. Now, we've all had similar experience, missed opportunities. And please don't leave me now for the rest of the sermon and go down memory lane in your brains. And then this sermon will be a missed opportunity. Do that later. Come on back. Because the point this morning is not missed opportunities of life, but the reality of those opportunities. The point that there are indeed things in life that will not always be there, that will be there for a moment, and then they'll be gone, never to be there again. That's the point. We've come not to think in that way, right? Stores are always open. Gas stations are always open. Electricity is always on. Water is always flowing. I mean, isn't the normal way of thinking of things nowadays, of opportunities, for example, is that they will always be there? And even if one specific opportunity arises that we miss, there'll be another and another and another. In fact, I just read recently, this past Friday, that the best advice given by the billionaire Warren Buffett is to say no. To say no to most of the opportunities that are laid before us. Why? Why say no? So that we can focus on the matter at hand, what we're good at, what we truly desire, what is our passion, as the much overused saying goes. It seems, so Buffett's thinking, that if we say yes to every opportunity presented to us, our life gets diluted, we lose focus, and we cannot truly succeed. We can't all become billionaires like Buffett. Now, I wonder at this point whether or not this is the type of thinking we have begun to use when we hear the message of Jesus Christ. When we hear that first sermon of the Son of God to us, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel? The good news that in the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. And in that we have the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ, when we're baptized into Him, we're washed, we're regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit of God so that we might live a new life. Now, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. When we hear it, when it's presented to us, it truly is an opportunity we should not miss to believe, to grasp, to receive, and so be changed, be regenerated, be renewed, to receive a new life. But what do we do? What do we do in our sin? I got time, so we think. Preaching of this gospel I can hear whenever I want. I've got the internet. I've got a smartphone. Radio, I think, somewhere there at the house. Television. Prince of Peace is sitting there in the corner. Not so much an opportunity as it is a reality, like life itself, like electricity in my house, like 24-hour grocery stores and gas stations. It will always be there. The gospel will always be there. Preaching will always be there. The Bible will always be there. And conversely, I'll always be able to hear. I'll always be able to see. I'll always be able to read. So as I said, not so much an opportunity, this gospel of Jesus Christ as a reality, which I'll get around to eventually to take advantage of, to experience, to benefit from, but not right now. Not right now. Right now I need to take Warren Buffett's advice and say no. No to the gospel. No to Jesus. No even to God himself, because I need to focus on my life, my hopes, my dreams, my desires in order to accomplish them. Of course, it's not true. The gospel is not so much a reality as, for each and every one of us, an opportunity. Just because it's here today doesn't mean that the gospel will be here tomorrow. And just because we can hear it or read it or watch it today doesn't mean we'll be able to do so tomorrow. Just because things are as they are today doesn't mean they'll be so tomorrow. Christ could, in fact, return tonight. And what then? Judgment Day could be tomorrow. What would we do? We ourselves could die this afternoon. And then what of our opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is your opportunity right here, right now, the last you may ever have. There's no waiting for something better, no waiting for something other, no thinking that now is just not the right time that you might miss out on something if you do. Behold, the Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthians, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, one of the most surprising accounts in the Old Testament is that of the prophet Jonah that we heard just a few moments ago. Yes, we know of Jonah and the whale, and what is missed about discussions of Jonah is what Jonah was called to do, as we heard this morning. And the result of what he was called to do, Jonah was called by God to go and preach to a city. Not even an Israelite city, not even a city that was within the boundaries of the promised land. Yes, Jonah was called to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, at one time the largest city in the world. An Assyrian city. A city now located in northern Iraq. Yes, Jonah was called to preach to a town in Iraq. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people there believed Jonah. They believed his preaching, the message of God through Jonah, and the people of Nineveh repented. They repented of their sin, and so God did not destroy Nineveh as he had the world in the flood, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Those Ninevites, they repented and they were forgiven. It was an opportunity, this preaching of Jonah, that they could not and did not miss. Of course, the Israelites, God's chosen people, would be different, wouldn't they? Rarely would they listen to the prophets sent to them by God. Then they would even imprison or kill them. They didn't take the opportunity presented to them and even resented that such an opportunity even existed. So let's not do that. Let's not do that. The words of the Apostle Paul, the message of God to us, the Holy Spirit, yes, these words of our epistle reading in this regard, they're poignant, aren't they? The appointed time, we heard in the epistle, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, those who buy as though they had no goods, those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. What's that all about? What's it all about? It's about a life in which the opportunity to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ as it's proclaimed and taught and confessed, yes, it's about a life that is lived in this world, but not of this world. A life, put simply, where the preaching of Jonah, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of Paul, all the same preaching, has been heard and believed. And thus, in order for life to be focused, in order for there to be not worldly success, but heavenly glory, the opportunities presented by the world, the opportunities which would delude, diminish, even extinguish the kingdom of God among us, have been rejected in classic Warren Buffett style. No, we're not to leave our spouses or not mourn or not rejoice or not buy or deal with the world, but we are to live in the reality that all such things are transitory, and the opportunity we have taken, faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is eternal, putting all such things, these things of the world, into perspective. So finally, think here how that last play, the football game last Sunday, it changed millions of people's perspectives, didn't it? For a moment, it looked like the same old, this missed field goal, that missed field goal, 12 men on the field. It all seemed like it was going to go the same way once again. And one play changed it all. And no matter what happens later today, that one play put all the others, the other failures, into a new perspective. No, such games don't always end in defeat. How happy have the people of Minnesota been this week because of one play in one game? When the gospel is proclaimed to us, it's that moment when our life can be so changed. When our perspective of life can be so changed, believing the gospel, what occurs, but that our consciences are cleansed, our minds are at peace, and our hearts can experience joy. Why? In Christ our Savior, our life is not going to be lost. In Christ, we're not doomed to destruction. In Christ, our life, even now, is not going to continue as it always have. Let's not miss this opportunity. Let's never miss this opportunity. Our text again, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's rise and sing the offertory.